them in continuity, something they've been doing here for the last since January, just playing games. So it's just a matter of what takes place, and every game's a big game, so it'll be interesting how it shakes out. But it gives you time to prepare a little bit, a couple of days extra. Don't have to, you know, in the year 2000, I was here, and we had to play four games in 4 days. So it's not like it's not impossible, but I think your chances are a lot better if, you know, if you you may have to go the route of getting three games in.
Welcome into the zone on a beautiful Thursday. Mike Anderson talking about seeding in the SEC tournament. Arkansas with an unbelievably big challenge tonight. And if you want to talk seeding, a victory in Lexington this evening would go a long way in helping Arkansas get where it wants to be when it comes SEC tournament time. Pat Bradley back after a whirlwind trip to Oxford, Mississippi last night to watch another of those 7-7 teams vying for an opportunity to move up. And Ole Miss did just that last night against Alabama. That was the good news for Ole Miss. The bad news for all of us is that Marshall Henderson did not even make it dramatic last night. He hit a couple of threes in the first half and ended Pat Bradley's record of consecutive games with at least one three-pointer made. Buddy?
I didn't want to go all the way there and the kid not do it.
That's true.
I kind of feel a little guilty.
Would have been kind of cool, actually, though.
It would have been fun.
You would have been tied. He still would have had the record. It just would have been tied.
That's true.
You know what's interesting, though?
I can share.
I saw last night the kid from Michigan, the shooter.
Stauskas,
0-for from three last night. So great shooters do have those nights. Yeah. Michigan had a dramatic victory that we'll play a highlight from. It was a great finish to that game last night. But Ole Miss, 79-67. So Ole Miss moves into the land of the eight-win teams, along with LSU, along with Tennessee, which also got its job done last night. As I said yesterday, there is no excuse for Tennessee not to run the table. Tennessee wins in Starkville last night, 75-68. How about a 29-point performance and 10 rebounds from Jordan McRae? Pretty impressive. LSU wins at home against Texas A&M, 68-49. Auburn over South Carolina. Gamecocks' horrible season continues. Auburn gets one tiny feather in its tiny little cap, 83-67. So tell me about your experience at Ole Miss last night. We will be posting some pictures of Pat sitting in Gucci Row in Oxford.
Yeah.
And some pictures with one of the great shooters in the league right now. I wouldn't call him an all-time great shooter just yet, but Marshall Henderson certainly has had a fantastic run. So give it to me.
Well, before I say that, we do have some numbers on Arkansas going on the road against a ranked opponent and how they have fared in winning some of those games. Lost quite a few, but won some. We'll get into those numbers here later on. Just give some folks a little bit of hope, my friend.
A 10.5-point dog tonight. I think it's a tall order, but yeah, I'm looking forward to hearing some of these numbers coming up. But last night?
Last night was good. Of course, David McCullough, got to give that cat a tip of the hat. He is the Ole Miss fan, grew up in West Memphis. So he grew up an Arkansas fan. He played high school basketball with Michael Cage and Keith Lee.
Did he really?
Yes.
Wow. That's a fearsome twosome right
there.
Yeah.
So he gave me a little bit of background on his West Memphis deal.
And Keith Lee's doing color now, right?
Well, Keith Carter, you're thinking of for Ole Miss.
Who's doing the color for Ole Miss?
Keith Carter.
Okay.
Who is a Perryville native who I saw last night. I hopped on the radio with him and David Kellum.
Is that right?
Who does the David Kellum does the play-by-play.
The play-by-play, yeah.
Perryville's Keith Carter, who is like their top dog in terms of fundraising, and they're about to build like an $80 million new basketball arena to replace the Tad Pad next year. So it was great. It was good.
He's a top Ole Miss fundraiser, not a top Perryville fundraiser. Right.
His sister, I believe, is a top Perryville fundraiser.
He played at Perryville High School?
Perryville.
Just out west of us?
Yeah, Perryville.
In Perry County?
What a P. Not to be confused with John Enskove, who played at Berryville with a B.
I didn't realize that, I guess. Okay.
Yeah, he was a beast.
That's cool.
He was a beast. So we get there. McCullough takes me through a shortcut through Helena, West Helena. I don't know if you're about the shortcut.
You went to Helena and gone last night?
Oh, my God. Have you ever been over the Arkansas River on that Helena Bridge?
Yes.
It's an experience everybody needs to go through.
I swam the Arkansas River one time.
It was unbelievable. No, this was the
Mississippi River,
This was the Mighty Miss. The old lady. Well, I mean, it was just so eerie because there was nobody around. There were like grain silos and crows. It was something to behold.
I'll say this. Growing up, I had a thing about elevators and bridges. Scary.
I still do.
Because I have a paranoid mother who was afraid of storms and everything else. She instilled all kinds of fears in me that were totally unnecessary. I am no longer afraid of elevators. I am still kind of wary of bridges.
What about clowns?
I love clowns.
That's where you're a freak, my friend. Clowns are here to kill you. All right. Anyway, so we get there to Ole Miss, and it was cool. Got a nice spot. Of course, McCullough's got four tickets in right that kind of floor area. Well, we get there. One of the fundraisers meets us. He goes, Keith and David want you to come on the radio and talk about a few things tonight's game. Beautiful. So we get there, sit on courtside.
So you're telling me the Ole Miss broadcasting is treating you better than Arkansas broadcasting?
It was unbelievable. I mean, they treated us.
That's really sad.
You know what it was? It was like they were appreciative that I was there. And I was a little hesitant because I'm like, I don't want to show up and act like I'm trying to inject my fat butt into this kid's night or anything like that.
No, I think
like
it plays as you want to see what this kid's all about.
Well, they appreciated, like, big time.
That's
neat. I was very surprised.
No, that's cool.
So Ole Miss, a lot of classy folks. And there was great folks. In midweek games, I didn't realize, in the long conversation I had with David McCullough, their fundraising efforts are so difficult. They are they don't have a lot of money, number one, in Mississippi. And a lot of their big money people that graduated from Ole Miss end up like in Jackson, Mississippi. They don't really stay in that Oxford area.
Well, think about it. I mean, Mississippi's the same size as Arkansas population-wise. And they have another, not only major D1 school, but another conference school that they're vying for attention from.
And that translates into money. So when you look at the TADPAD, they don't have a lot of folks. They don't have, we're so fortunate to have Walmart, Tyson, the Stevens, JB, and that's just the top dogs.
Well, and you have no competition as far as major Division I.
So when you look at how difficult it is. I just didn't realize how difficult it was for them to raise money when needed to.
I could see that.
And
they do have a cool. It is a cool town, though. I do like Oxford.
It's a cool town. It's a college town. Like, I asked him. I said, "Well, there's a lot of
industry.
Going to be a lot of former players still living in Oxford." He says, "No, there's not. There's really no businesses.
Yeah, hey, go make any money
to do.
What you going to do?
Yeah, so they leave.
Either work for the school or you do something else and you move away.
Yeah, exactly. Like Keith, Kukaira does a great job. So we get there, do the radio with those guys. You know, they make an announcement. Before the game, we're sitting courtside.
They announced you over the PA?
Yeah,
that's
PA.
Awesome. Well, you got the red
TV
carpet.
The TV guys, they had the camera right in front of me.
Oh, that's cool.
I was trying to give my good side.
I
met the chancellor. Talked to the old chancellor. The governor of Mississippi was there.
Get out of here.
The governor of Mississippi was there sitting courtside.
Are you kidding me?
I'm not lying to you.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Hugh Freeze was there. Hugh Freeze was even in attendance. The new AD was in attendance. But here's what you'll love. Marshall Henderson's sister goes to Ole Miss now.
How are you?
She's like a sophomore.
Okay.
She wears a Henderson jersey, front row, popping her jersey the entire time.
That would be the ultimate FU to Marshall Henderson from breaking your record as you take his sister out.
I can't. I met his father last night. I talked to his father. You can't say that.
He asked for his daughter's hand for a date. Do you even do that? I don't even know if that's okay. That's funny.
So I talked to his father after the game. His father's still a high school coach right outside of Dallas. For 25 years, he's been in this, I forget the name of a small school.
There
grew
is
up there.
No way if Marshall Henderson was playing for his father right now and he wasn't his own son, he would have kicked him off the team by now.
I think he did at times in high school.
I guarantee you.
You could tell, it was interesting because you could tell the kid Henderson has been through a lot. He's a smart, sharp kid.
Is he?
He really is.
He hides it well.
So it was good to see them. And after the game, like I told you, they have a deal where after each game, the players kind of take a loop around the court and just whichever fan's still there, they'll slap him high five and go straight to the locker room. So they're kind of in a rush. But so when he came over, I said, congrats. I gave him an embrace. And he goes, oh, because then he realized who I was. He goes, oh, sorry, man. I go, don't worry about it, man. Great job, great effort. He goes, thanks for setting the bar so high.
That's nice.
How about that?
He had a moment with Marshall.
How about that kid? What a good kid.
That's pretty nice.
He's a good kid.
That's good. That makes me feel better about him.
You know what? He got hurt last night, too, because he didn't score in the second half for the second game in a row.
Boy, I wasn't hoping for him to get hurt, but that would have been kind of nice.
Oh, I know.
Started earlier.
Which is tough.
What happened to him?
It was a collision. He actually collided with his own teammate. It's something I've never seen before. And I don't know if he hurt his hip, but I guess he's okay now. But it was a good experience. I'm glad I went. I'm glad that you guys encouraged me to go.
I'm very pleased that you went. I mean, I know you're tired today. That was a quick turnaround. But thanks to David, too, for providing the seat. That was a great experience for you. And I'm glad you were there.
And he drove the whole time.
You know what? For Marshall Henderson, too, he won't think about it now, but 10 years from now. That'll mean something to him that you were there.
It will, and I was thinking about how everyone's like, your record's getting broken, and the truth of the matter is nobody would even think about this record if it wasn't going to get broken.
Yeah.
And I'd rather be able to watch it and go there now than when I'm 70. You can't, with hooked up to an oxygen tank.
Sure. Well, I'm hoping you're healthier than that at 70. But, you know,
I just like oxygen.
Who don't? It's kind of important. It's a fraternity, and you don't think about it when you're somebody like me who's never. I've been in an actual fraternity, but never in a fraternity of athletes like you're in, and it's such an elite group. And all you had to do was get into my fraternity was be willing to write them a check every month and drink a lot of beer, which I was cool with. You, of course.
And the GOAT.
It's an elite group. I mean, we've talked a lot about Baz this week going into the Hall of Fame, and I'm certainly thrilled for him, and he's done a lot of things off the field, too, which have helped earn him the notoriety and the opportunity to get into the Hall of Fame. But that's an elite group, too. I mean, again, you have earned your way in. You should be proud of that. And when people look back on the performances of your career, it is pretty cool to think about how long it has taken, because you've been out of school 15 years.
Yeah, 16.
It's taken a while to get there. And again, it goes back to that missed bus trip in a first half against American University, or you would have put the bar so high it might have never been reached.
Yeah, yeah.
Because even good shooters go, like we saw last night with Stauskas. Yeah. It happens.
The NCAA record, I think, is like 85 or 86,
You would have shattered that.
Yeah, I thought it was in the 70s. I don't know what it is.
You'd have mashed it.
Mashed it.
Because it was your junior year, you broke your streak, right?
Yeah, I didn't realize. I didn't realize it started my freshman year. I was very confused back then. But it was a good time.
Some things never change.
The most important thing when people look at this, I hope they know, and you mentioned Jordan McRae from Tennessee putting up big numbers.
Yeah.
To me, consistency is the key. Like, if you're a coach or a fan and you know Marshall Henderson, Rodney Clark, some of the – Chris Lofton, guys like that.
Who was the kid at Vandy?
The kid at Vandy.
Because he's ahead of you, too, now on the three-point list. Sorry, I didn't mean to stump you.
I forget his name.
Anyway, he's really good.
But, yeah, he was – it feels good to know, well, this kid's going to come in. He's going to give me 9 to 12 points, 15 points on a consistent – I mean, every night I can depend on that.
Yeah, it's not like you average 15 by scoring 30 one night and 7
that's
the next
it.
Or whatever.
And that's, to me, when you look at a guy making
– I realize 37 divided by 2 is not 15. Anyway. Yeah.
But making a 3 in every game, you want to count on that production. You know this guy's going to give you something. He's not going to just be so inconsistent you don't know if he's going to show up that night.
Right.
And that's, to me, the best thing. We talk about, like, Brett Favre. To me – I don't care how many touchdowns, anything he threw, the fact that he was able to play and show up and produce in that many games in a row.
That's true.
Despite his...
Do you care about how many interceptions he threw?
To pain pills, which probably helped him. But
Pictures of Favre, yes.
Because to me, the ability over the course of time to do it for a long time is much more important than having one super spectacular season.
That's a good point. So let's look at the standings now. We're going to talk more about the game. Coming up tonight, great challenge for Arkansas. Kentucky, the clear-cut second-best team in the league, 21-6 overall now. The only other team in the conference with 20 wins outside of Florida. And Florida, of course, undefeated in conference, 26-2. Did get a scare this week. So you got Georgia at 10-5, which, again, we have no idea how. LSU's 8-7 now with the win this week. Mississippi is 8-7. Tennessee's 8-7. Arkansas can join that group. Arkansas is the only other team that can get to 8-7. With a win tonight. Otherwise, they fall into the group at the next level, which is 7-8, Missouri, A&M, Vanderbilt. Then you get into the dregs of society.
Boy, they're bad, huh? Is it the bottom four teams?
Yeah. Well, you got Auburn and Alabama at 5-10. And you've got Mississippi State and South Carolina with 3 wins. So it is a huge game. It's a great opportunity. It certainly gets Arkansas very squarely on the map of the NCAA tournament, but I just think it's too tall a task tonight. I hate to say that. Yeah. And I go back to, Pat, and you could go back and look through I don't have it in front of me. You got two games against Missouri decided by a total of 3 points. You've got the near miss against Florida. You've got the Georgia game they couldn't close out on the road. You've got the Tennessee game they couldn't quite close out on the road.
Yeah.
I mean, there are so many near misses. And, again, the reason that's such a huge deal is if Arkansas right now is 8-6 instead of 7-7, tonight's game means like 50% less, especially if one of those wins is against Missouri or Florida.
Yeah, that's true.
You hate to say they already made their bed, but they basically – and again, we didn't talk about near misses on the road last year. We didn't talk about narrowly losing to a team that's now number one in the country, although they did beat a number two Florida last year. We talked about going on the road and getting their heads kicked in and winning all their home games. That's all they did last year. And that's all the year before the similar situation.
It was about competing on the road. It's about what kind of effort are you going to give them?
Such a different team and so much more fun. And you give them a chance just because of what they've shown.
Yeah. And they're just that much of a wild card still that they can put up a fight and I think have a chance tonight at the end of the game. Have a chance.
Bro, let me tell you something. If there's one thing I've seen a lot growing up in my family, it's back hair. They are a back hair away. A back hair away from having like 9 wins already. Yeah. And then tonight's game is almost meaningless because then all you can do is win your last 3, which are going to be favored in all of them.
Yeah. It just doesn't set you back as much.
I like this team. I'd love to see it happen. I love Coach A. I hope it comes together. I'm just not optimistic. I'm sorry. I am hopeful. I am rooting. I am not. I'm not very optimistic. Can you be hopeful and not optimistic? Is that an oxymoron?
No, I think you can.
Okay,
you can.
I'm rooting. Sure. I'm going to root with all my might. Tonight, UALR with a big game too. UALR is trying to stay in a situation where, or get back into a situation where they can get a bye because they've got some work to do.
Mm-hmm.
And